Sandra Boynton is one of our favorite guests on this program. She is a beloved American cartoonist, a children's author, and a platinum-selling songwriter and producer. She is having an incredible year, celebrating 45 years since her first ever children's book was published, celebrating 85 million books in print. She's launching her own publishing imprint, Boynton Bookworks, and she is also, this is cool, launching a wine partnership, which is appropriately enough called Boynton Wine Works. It is a great pleasure to welcome the one and only Sandra Boynton to the roundtable. How are you?
I am fine. I'm so excited to be here. My seasonal allergies are also excited to be here. So just letting you know, you have all of us here right now.
Well, it is. It's always a pleasure to have you on the program. But especially when you have so much cool stuff going on, and we can celebrate you and all of the neat things that are happening. Give us a sense of what it means to have your own imprint, your own launch of your own imprint.
Yeah, I wish I could describe what it means quite. It's almost all of my books have come together, the existing ones and future ones, in one location now. That's a pretty exhilarating thing to have. Oddly enough, I don't think I've had a book go out of print in 20 years. I'm not sure about that. So there are a lot of them because they keep accumulating. But it's also a good springboard to do other new books that I want to do. And I've also, I think you and I talked about this maybe 2 years ago, I've had to redraw a number of my books because of changes, well, because of problems in original printing technology that has trouble with a thin black line, which I tend to draw with a thin black line. And then all of those files over the last 15 years had to be converted by printers to digital, but there's some loss in that. There's some disintegration of the artwork in that. So I just decided a number of years ago that slowly I would redraw them, meaning I'm not trying to reimagine them. I'm not trying to draw the way I would draw them now. I'm trying to honor what the original books were, but make them look the way that they should have looked in the first place and should be looking now. And it's fun because I get to encounter my much younger self as I'm drawing them. I go, wait, why would she put the line like that, you know? And so it's actually, I mean, luckily I'm a process person. So I actually really enjoy this. So it's been kind of cool looking backward and looking forward and occasionally looking around me.
So the first book here is Hippos Go Berserk, and it is referred to as a super deluxe edition of the humble yet lively 1977 hardcover book, completely redrawn by the author for its 45th Berserk anniversary. It looks beautiful. The color is beautiful. The lines are beautiful. Everything is just gorgeous. And that must be gratifying, especially, I don't know what you make of numbers like that, but 45, it seems, you know, it wouldn't necessarily have to be this jazzy, and yet it is.
It's true. I actually remember drawing this book. I was a student. I was a drama school student when I drew the book. And for reasons I can no longer remember, the faculty let me do, you know, everyone had to do a January project. We didn't take any classes. You had to choose one project intensively to work on. And theoretically, it should have been related to theater. I must have convinced them that a children's book is a kind of a theater. And I think if you look at the book, there is something theatrical about what happens. It's pretty exhilarating to see it come out, you know, because that was actually quite a tiny book originally, and which is fun too. But to sort of have this larger deluxe edition, it's the first time it's had a jacket, and it's. So it's the same book, and Yeah, deluxified, I believe, is the technical term. And I'm so glad you like it. When I finally got it in my hands, because you keep thinking you know what it's going to look like, and you approve the paper, and then when you finally get the published edition, it's always a wonderful surprise. It's always, just a remarkable grace note.
Did that idea, you were talking about this, doing this during school and college, but I mean, did you have the look down right away? I mean, was that this is what a Sandra Boynton hippo was going to look like?
Yeah, I mean, any cartoonist, and I think of myself as a cartoonist. I mean, I guess technically you could say I'm an illustrator, but to me, I'm a cartoonist. And any cartoonist's style evolves. I mean, whether you want it to or not, look at Gary Trudeau or look at Charles Schulz, you know. And you know, there's a wonderful charm to the early ones, and there's a fluidity and mastery that happens in their later work. All of it good. In other words, you wouldn't want them to be anything, have any other arc than they have. So, yes, I think I've always drawn like this. I wrote and illustrated my first book at age 4. It was my sister, when she was in college, found this in my parents' saved papers. She was writing thesis on the drawings of children. And so she, I'm one of 4 girls, and my sister Judy got from my mother this box of drawings and found, of all of our drawings, and found this book I'd written called A Funny, written and illustrated. It's 4 whole pages long. And oddly, it has the same plot as Hippos Go Berserk, although it's not a hippo. It's called A Funny Animal. And the entire text is, once there was a funny animal, he had a birthday party. All the animals came. They did not like it, so they left. The end. I think this was my Chekhovian phase.
Yes.
So I think we all are who we are. I'm positive that, 5-year-old Joe Donahue would be very recognizable.
Yeah, I think that's true. But what I find so interesting, though, is realizing what you said earlier about how you didn't change anything. There's such a wink, even in that book from 45 years ago, of like, there's one page of 8 hippos sneak in the back, and the second hippo to the left just is looking at us. This little kind of piercing gaze at us, just, ooh, look what I'm up to. There's a wink that seems, as you say, would, all cartoonists evolve, but that seems like you had a mind of the audience and sort of the humor and the wink and a nod that would come from these characters.
Yeah, I think it comes partly from how you're born, and I think it comes from the work that you love. So certainly Charles Schulz was my earliest love in this regard, and he was extraordinary in every way from the get-go of his storytelling, of his depiction of characters. And then I was lucky enough to 3 years before I did Hippos Go Berserk in drama school as an undergraduate, I took a semester class with Maurice Sendak, who was my very first love as a children's book writer and illustrator. I guess first illustrator, I guess it was Little Bear, which he didn't write, but the illustrations were absolutely captivating. So I don't know, everything sort of folds back on itself in a life, and the cross currents are unpredictable and fascinating.
You talk about the animals, your hippos are funny, your chickens are funny. I mean, most of the animals that you've dealt with are funny. Are there unfunny animals?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, a mosquito's not especially fun. No, actually, I've seen cartoonists who draw a very funny mosquito. I don't know. I actually have more trouble drawing drawing animals whose essence I don't, in other words, my hippos don't look much like hippos. I remember once at the zoo, and as an adult, saying to my husband, because we were looking at the hippos with our kids, and I said, wow, their legs are too tiny to support those entire those bodies that they have. In other words, that, you know, I found those hippos unrealistic. For me, like something like a tiger is actually quite difficult for me to draw because I don't have a sense of its, and I love tigers, I think they're beautiful. I don't have a sense of its humorous essence, or I can't think of how to express it. It's, I can't find its quiddity.
Like chickens, as I mentioned, you do great chickens, cows.
Turkeys are so easy.
Turkeys are easy.
Oddly enough, I do have trouble with cats, and cats, I can do them, and I'm, I think, known for my cat. I can't draw it from the side. I've done tons of greeting cards back in the greeting card days, and, you know, I can do a pretty expressive and recognizable cat from the front. I don't know what it looks like from the side. I've had to do it occasionally, but it's not, it doesn't interpret, it doesn't rotate well.
That's really interesting. And I assume you've worked on it really hard to try to get it.
Oh, I have. I've tried and failed. So, I don't actually know why. I mean, a hippo is much easier to show from the side or a three quarters view, harder from the front, but, you know, still doable. But I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Sorry.
No, these are great mysteries. Yes, these are great mysteries of life.
Right.
There's exactly. One book in the new coming out in the imprint called Moo Ba Fa La 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 La, and you see the sides of the dogs, and there are no cats in that, and right. Yeah, that's interesting because you do often look at the animal from the side.
Yeah. I don't actually know why. Maybe it is the theater. I mean, I thought I was going to be a theater director, and I love the stage. I love the dynamic of a stage, and so it might be that they're always moving. You know, sorry, heading somewhere. Not they don't tend to stand and expostulate about something. I don't know. I'm just making this up, Joe. I don't know.
Postulate is a good word to throw out in an NPR interview. I like that.
Absolutely. I have a list here of words that I'm going to try to insert in here anyway.
Sandra Boynton is our guest. We're talking about Boynton Bookworks. And also, I think it's time to talk about wine, for goodness sakes. This is Boynton Wine Works. So how does a cartoonist and a successful children's book writer and illustrator have her own brand of wine?
Well, the lure of free wine is something not to be... No, it's actually that I've done coffee for a long time. A good friend of mine is a coffee roaster in Pine Plains, New York, and he's just a fabulous human being and was an absolute master. He's still alive, but he has retired, and he was a master roaster. And his son, who was a classmate of my son, Devin, you know, Bob taught Will how to do this, you know, pretty complex roasting of beans. So I had originally done some coffee bags for Bob. And it really was, an agreement of, I get free coffee if I do the coffee bags for him. We just had so much fun doing that. And then Will took over. And then, this is way too long a story, printing changed in this last year. So it became possible to do in the United States, which matters to me, an all over printed bag, which all over it used to be just a sticker. So anyway, so I redid and did new. This is what's on now, almost a year ago. It's actually, I was going to say last fall, but that was a year ago. And so redid a bunch of bags. We redesigned the website and stuff. And it's a someone that he works with, who also has a good friend of his from high school who has a small wine importing business. So I just couldn't resist the temptation to, especially because I love French wine, because we lived in France for a while, and he had a relationship with a small vineyard in Provence. So I got to do 3 bottles of wine, and I loved designing those labels. And the wine tasting to choose the wines was a lot of fun as well. There, that was a very long story. That's
no,
the answer.
But I'm stuck on the, because that's great work, right? Because you're working, of course, yeah. But you're testing the wine and seeing what's good for the Boynton name. That's good. There is a there's a white rosé, a red, and that must just be fun and fascinating, because I assume while most of your products are for a much younger group, we are all aging, and there are fans of yours who are old enough to drink wine.
There are easily a dozen of them.
Hardly.
No, it was a really fun thing to do, and I think they sold out. So it might be one of those. It might be like the K-Marto wine. Do you know that they used to sell at Kmart that became suddenly very valuable? No, but these are actually good wines, and I'm proud of the designs. But I'm pretty sure they sold out.
So, and then will there be more? Or we don't know.
That's a complex question, because there were problems with importing. It got, you know, the whole supply chain thing and the unloading at the dock. And so timing got to be pretty complex. And luckily, I didn't have to handle the headaches and logistics of that. But it's a complex and expensive question. So we'll see.
And we'll hope for the best.
I have extra bottles. Next time I see you, I will bring you some.
Well, that's lovely. That makes me feel better. Let me know what it means to you I would think just longevity you have to be proud of.
Yeah. I'm never someone who had, I'm not a especially forward-looking person. I remember when you had to apply to college and they wanted to, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And I go, I don't know where I'm going to be next week. I don't really want to know. I'm not that person. I like, you know, to me, it's important to find work that you want to do and people that you love doing it with. And I have been so lucky in my life. I mean, I'm talking to you from the small music studio I have, and this is where Mike Ford and I, he's actually the person who set up this mic and is recording. And we're working on a Christmas album right now. And there's, you know, this is our 7th album. We've been working together since 1996. There's nothing better than that. Did I ever expect to be doing music in my life? I've always loved music and I sang in a choir, but no, I never expected that I could be doing music professionally. I get giddy. I would never become complacent about that. I'm just always astonished that's been possible and that it's still possible, and how many places I've gone with it and how many people I've gotten to work with. It's just, I just can't even begin to express it. Obviously, as you can hear, I can't express it. It's just exhilarating.
Well, it is always wonderful to have you on the program, and it's so exciting because you not only have the wine works, which you may or may not be able to get, but it can at least make you like want it, which is good, I think, right?
Yes. Thwarted desire is just,
That's right. It's at least, get people excited about it. And then, of course, the new imprint, which is Boynton Bookworks. And for that, there is no shortage. You can certainly get these wonderful books that are coming out. And I assume new books as well.
Oh, yeah. No, I've done, let's see, I've in the past 10 months, I've written 6 new books. So yes, they're going to keep coming out. Actually, the one that after the ones you mentioned in January, one of my favorite books I've done that I did for my youngest granddaughter is Peekaboo Rex. And it just, that phrase popped into my head because she, little kids like, she likes Peekaboo, little kids like Peekaboo. And I just go, okay, what goes with the word peekaboo, which is a great word, and it just peekaboo Rex. And so I had the title before I had any idea what to do with that book, and I'm really excited about it. It's really one of my favorite that I've done, and that comes out in January, right in time to miss the entire Christmas season.
Well, that. Well, you have a Thanksgiving book out. Pookie's Thanksgiving is out under the new imprint. And then for that Christmas rush, Moo, Ba, Fa, Wa, 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 Wa. And, of course, don't forget, Hippos Go Berserk, just to name a few. Sandra Boynton, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
I love talking with you. It's so much fun. As we head into the fall, let's all strive for some sort of optimism.
Absolutely. And calming and joy, and you'll help us get there as always. Sandra Boynton, be well.
You too. Thanks so much, Joe.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.